Father, what a joy it is to know you. To be able to sing those words, you will hold us fast because we know who you are. By your grace, Lord, we have been saved. Father, through the preaching of your word this morning, remind us that there is no comfort at all apart from you. May we rest in who you are this week. We know you are going to hold us fast, but may we abide in your word. May we remember the truth of who you are. May our lives truly have intimacy with you. So many times we fail, as we have already heard this morning. Father, but I pray that we would be vessels that are focused upon you, focused upon your word, focus upon doing your word and teaching your word. Lord, we give you this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would remain standing for the reading of God's word, we'll be in Ezra chapter 7 this morning. Ezra chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's found on page 393. Page 393. As we saw last week, Ezra has finally arrived. He has finally arrived. 80 years after the first exiles returned to Jerusalem, Ezra has come on the scene. Ezra chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, a man learned in matters of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes for Israel. Artaxerxes, King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, peace. And now I make a decree that any one of the people of Israel or their priests or Levites in my kingdom who freely offers to go to Jerusalem may go with you. For you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to make inquiries about Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of your God, which is in your hand. And also to carry the silver and gold that the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, with all the silver and gold that you shall find in the whole province of Babylonia, and with the freewill offerings of the people and the priests vowed willingly for the house of their God that is in Jerusalem. With this money, then, you shall with all diligence buy bulls, rams, and lambs with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and you shall offer them on the altar of the house of your God that is in Jerusalem. Whatever seems good to you and your brothers to do with the rest of the silver and gold, you may do according to the will of your God. The vessels that you have been given for the service of the house of your God, you shall deliver before the God of Jerusalem. And whatever else is required for the house of your God, which it falls to you to provide, you may provide it out of the king's treasury. And I, Artaxerxes, the king, make a decree to all the treasurers in the province beyond the river, whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, requires of you, let it be done with all diligence, up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribing how much. Whatever is decreed by the God of heaven, let it be done in full for the house of the God of heaven, lest his wrath be against the realm of the king and his sons. We also notify you that it shall not be lawful to impose tribute, custom, or toll on any one of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the doorkeepers, the temple servants, or other servants of the house of God. And you, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God that is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges who may judge all the people in the province beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God. And those who do not know them, you shall teach. Whoever will not obey the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be strictly executed on them, whether for death or for banishment or for a confiscation of his goods or for imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who put such a thing as this into the heart of the king to beautify the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem, and who extended to me his steadfast love before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty officers. I took courage, for the hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So Ezra has arrived 80 years after the exile. Now, he was a priest as well as a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. As we learned last week, the good hand of God was on Ezra, but he was also a very disciplined man. As a wise man once said, so many complain about not being used by God. Make yourself usable and God will wear you out. God is sovereign and he will use whom he wills to use. But men and women are responsible to abide in the word and work hard at obeying the commands of God. Ezra was such a man. Ezra, he set his heart to study the law of God, to do the law of God, and to teach the law of God. He was devoted to those three things. His life was fixed on three words for the glory of God. Study, do, teach. Study, do, teach. He was firm and steadfast. He was a living example of what Psalm chapter 1 says is a blessed man. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what we see here is God's hand on Ezra, but we also see a man of God who is set upon the law of the Lord. Ezra delighted in the Ten Commandments, or literally the 10 words that God spoke. God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. The law of God is a schoolmaster and shows us our great need of salvation, our great need of Jesus Christ. These commands are important, and they are just that, commands from God to all of us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, we find, now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. What we see in the law is that we are all guilty and we are all unable to keep it. We see our unworthiness, God's holiness, and we are left in great need. Commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number 2, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath or is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Commandment 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment 5, honor your father and mother. Commandment 6, you shall not murder. Commandment 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment 8, you shall not steal. Commandment 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Commandment 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Ezra, he set his heart to study the law of God, to do it and to teach it. And our life is not to be any different this morning. Last week I asked a question, is what is it you study, what do you do, and what do you teach? Has your life been any different from last week's text? Has your life changed from last week's sermon? As God's people, when we spend time in God's word, that's exactly what should happen. We should hear God's word and respond with obedience. Today we look at the detailed letter that King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra. A letter that was a decree for all. It was very similar to King Cyrus's decree. A letter that allowed Ezra to do what the Lord had put in his heart to do. In verses 12 through 26, we find the letter from the king. It is written in Aramaic, the official imperial language. So King Artaxerxes writes his decree, which gives permission. In verse 11, it says, this is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, a man learned in matters of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes for Israel. Artaxerxes, King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, peace. And now I make a decree that anyone of the people of Israel or their priests or Levites in my kingdom who freely offers to go to Jerusalem may go with you. So King Artaxerxes gave Ezra permission to go from his kingdom. Even the king recognized Ezra as a priest, a scribe, and a man learned in matters of Yahweh and its statutes for Israel. Ezra was also not leaving alone, as the text tells us, but with any Israelite who wanted to return with him. You see, it does not matter the difficulty or improbability of a situation, God will accomplish his will. Let's be reminded, King Artaxerxes is not saved. He does not believe in the Lord. He is a wicked king. But we see the Lord doing his will. And in here, in this situation, he was using Artaxerxes, king of kings, a man who ruled over many peoples, to do his will. So often men and women fail to do something for God or ask God for something because they do not believe that he can or will do anything at all. I mean, let's just be honest. If we fail to abide in the word of God, our prayers before a holy God are pretty insignificant. Our prayers before a holy God, they often doubt faith, believing. So many men and women fail to do something for God or to ask God for something because they do not believe that he can or will do it. Faith is lacking. In the book of James, we find that if we ask for anything and we lack faith, we are unstable, not just in that prayer, we are unstable in all of our ways. We must be men and women who do not doubt. Men and women who obey and pray God's will, humbly believing that he will accomplish great things beyond what our physical eyes can see in the present and beyond what our finite minds can understand. Let us not forget, if you're here this morning and you know that you have been born again, that you have salvation, your salvation is a miracle. The Lord will be faithful to accomplish his will, and we must be faithful to him in seeking and doing his will, and knowing his will, doing his will, and teaching his will. Do you really have faith in the Lord as you go about your day? There's a difference between thinking about it and praying about it and actually having faith. Do you really have faith in the Lord as you go throughout your day? In verse 14, we find the letter also called for Ezra and the seven counselors to inquire about the spiritual state of the people. Seven counselors, seven princes, or seven inner cabinet members were sent with Ezra to see the spiritual state of the people in Israel. So it seems that Persian kings relied on a council of seven men. Esther chapter 1, verse 14 confirms this. It is also important to note that as a pluralistic society, Persian kings showed an interest in other people obeying their God and restoring their places of worship. It's quite interesting when you look at history. They were concerned about other people worshiping their God and doing what they know they should be doing as a pluralistic society. What I love about verse 14 is the emphasis on the spiritual state of Jerusalem. Ezra, I want you to go and I want you to see how they are doing. Do a spiritual checkup with the law of your God. Don't go and give us your opinion about their condition. Hold up the law of God and hold up the people. See how they are living. What are they doing? Is the law of God being kept? And who's this coming from? A wicked man. Go and do a spiritual checkup of the people there. We as children of God would be wise to know specifically the Ten Commandments and to do them as well as to teach them. Now the Ten Commandments do not free us from the bondage of sin. That is the work of Christ alone and his grace. But they do instruct us in how we are to live on this earth. So far in history, and time will obviously tell in the future, but pendulums always swing. So often we talk about the love of God and we forget about the law of God. Both of them need to be talked about. Both of them need to be discussed. You and I need to be reminded of God's great love. We have good news of the gospel, but we also need to know there is a law of God that shows us we are sinners in need of a Savior. So this earthly wicked king, Artaxerxes, he cared about the spiritual state of Israel. Let me ask you, is the spiritual state of this church a concern of yours? Is it a prayer of yours? Are you praying for this church? How about your family? Is the spiritual state of your family a concern? In verses 15 through 20, we find the letter also called for Ezra to take all that was freely offered and to buy exactly what was necessary. So Ezra was to go to Jerusalem with silver, gold, and freewill offerings. He was to purchase all necessary offerings, and with whatever was left, he was to do according to the will of the Lord. He was also allowed to access the king's treasury for whatever was needed. In layman's terms, Ezra had a credit card with endless limits. I'm not only going to send you in to care about the spiritual state of the people, I'm going to send you and you're going to have access to whatever you need for your people to worship God however they need to, according to the book, the law of God that you have. We wouldn't believe it if this was happening today, would we? What we see here is the Lord calling Ezra to do something and providing the means for him to do it. This is what the Lord does. Even today, when the Lord commands us or calls us to do something, we just need to obey, and his will is going to be accomplished. In verses 21 through 23, we find this letter called for treasurers in the Judea province to give a great deal of money to Ezra. It wasn't over. Artaxerxes was not through in providing for Ezra and Jerusalem. To those in the province beyond the river, whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven requires of you, let it be done with all diligence, meaning let it be done so speedily. The diligence had a limit, though. 100 talents of silver. 1 talent was about 75 pounds, so that's around 7,500 pounds of silver. 100 cores of wheat, that was 650 bushels. A core was a donkey load. 100 baths of wine. That's 600 gallons of wine. 100 baths of oil. 600 gallons of oils. And salt without limits. Look at verse 23. It says, whatever is decreed by the God of heaven, let it be done in full for the house of the God of heaven, lest his wrath be against the realm of the king and his sons. In other words, this wicked king was concerned about the wrath of God. And he says, look into your book, the law of God, see what is written, and do whatever you need to do according to the law of God. Because King Artaxerxes, he was so worried about them doing everything they should be doing as a people. But let's see the selfishness here too. Why was he worried? He was worried because he was worried about the wrath of God on him, his kingdom, and his sons. Artaxerxes feared the wrath of the God of heaven. He feared his life, his kingdom, and specifically for his sons. He followed in the footsteps of King Darius. In Ezra 6, 9 through 10, this is what we read. And whatever is needed from King Darius, bulls, rams, or sheep, or burnt offerings for the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, as the priests of Jerusalem require, let that be given to them day by day without fail. They may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. See, we, the children of God, we are no longer under his wrath. That's when we need to say, amen. Praise God. But we are to fear him. We are to keep his commands. We are to have reverence in our life for Yahweh, his words, his commands, and the worship of him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, we find the end of the matter, all that has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whatever good or evil. So we are to fear the Lord, having renewed minds, thinking about eternity and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ will return, but he will return with his wrath. In Psalm 51:5, we find, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." We sang about this morning. "And in sin did my mother conceive me." In John chapter 3, verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So what you see is a man who believes in God is a man who obeys. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness they suppress the truth." In Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, "He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, we find, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." See, the earthly king and the heavenly king, they had different motivations in Ezra. King Artaxerxes, he feared the wrath of God. Our heavenly king was building his church and ushering in the redemption of his people through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us as a church focus on the mission that we have been given. Let us not forget the great love of the Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us not ignore what is going on around us. And let us not dismiss the preaching of the gospel. We are called to be the salt and the light in this world. I think so many times you and I can get caught up in different things. I know personally we can get caught up so much in what the world is doing and saying and what is the tide of the culture, so to speak, that we forget what God has said and what God has called us to do. We can so easily dismiss the preaching of the gospel and so easily cling to the fears that we see in this life. In verse 24 of our main text, we find additionally the letter exempted all the temple officials from tax. Though this was a typical Persian practice of not imposing taxes on priestly class, the king was making sure that the wrath of God of heaven would stay away by providing for his people. Derek Thomas notes that this must surely have helped Ezra gain acceptance into an otherwise closed society of Jewish priest. Not even Ezra in this moment completely understood all the details that Yahweh was working in this moment of history. We should never count the goodness of the Lord. We should never count the goodness of the Lord and his perfect plan to where we don't trust him completely, where we forget that he is going to accomplish his will. In verses 25, we find, as if the letter by the king had not done enough already, Ezra was to appoint magistrates and judges and make sure that all obeyed the law of God. Just as Ezra was to see to the spiritual state of the people according to the law of God in Ezra chapter 7, verse 13, here in Ezra 7:25, he was to appoint magistrates and judges according to the wisdom of God. So he was to act like a governor. Can you imagine that? So Ezra, I'm going to release you from my kingdom. I'm going to send you with everything that you need. You're going to go and you're going to make sure the worship of Yahweh is taking place according to the law of your God in heaven. And as you are so doing, I also want you to see that everything is being done according to the political healthiness in your area. I want you to act like a governor. I want you to appoint people that need to be appointed, magistrates and judges, to make sure that all are obeying the law of God. See, the Lord was setting his people on the right path with the right foundation through the letter of a wicked king and his servant Ezra. It would be real easy to become full of pride if you were Ezra, would it not? To walk in and to see everything kind of laid. You got the carpet spread out. You walk in. You're having favor with everybody. But we see the humility of Ezra in the praise of God in verse 27. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this to the heart of the king, to beautify the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem, and who extended to me his steadfast love before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty officers. I took courage, for the hand of Yahweh my God was on me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me." Ezra recognized the Lord's hand. He did not take any personal credit, but he gave glory to God alone. It was the Lord who stirred King Artaxerxes, as we have already seen from Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. It was the Lord who beautified his house. It was the Lord who extended his steadfast love before the king, counselors, and mighty officers. Our Lord has complete rule over all things, and he ordains what comes to pass. So in this thing, of all that was taking place, Ezra took courage. He took courage in the fact that the Lord's hand was on him. You know, as God's people, we can take courage that the Lord's hand is on us when we are seeking to do exactly what Ezra did. To know his word, to do his word, and to teach his word. I love the note found in the Reformation Study Bible concerning this verse. It says, "Ezra's awareness of God's providential control is a source of encouragement for the task that lie ahead." See, if we're set on knowing God, set on knowing who he is, set on knowing his word, having our mind daily transformed and renewed, set on doing what his word says, no matter what society does to us, no matter what individuals do to us, no matter what is being spoken against us, his will is going to be accomplished in our lives. And the results do not matter. You can just write down results and put an X mark all the way through it, and you can just put, if I am being faithful to God, that is enough. Faithfulness before God, that is success. I sure hope you find comfort in knowing the Lord and who he is. I sure hope you find comfort when you open up God's word and you read it and you set your mind on doing it and you do it. And then you set your mind on teaching it. This morning, for me, worshiping with my family, sitting in the front row, Alyssa squirming, and then leaning down and speaking to Colby during each song, reminding him, "Colby, this is what this song is teaching. This is what this song is saying." And then the last hymn that we sing pretty regularly at our house, "He Will Hold Me Fast," hearing Alyssa scream and sing that hymn offbeat and a few verses behind, but knowing that she is being taught. Knowing that the things that are being done here are being done in my home. Knowing that God's word does not return void. Setting my heart on listening to the word of God as I read the word of God. Setting my mind to do the word of God and to teach the word of God. Knowing that it's not going to return void. How important that is. Because the circumstances of squirming kids or squirming classmates or squirming neighbors or people closing doors and not wanting to talk or you sharing the gospel and someone getting upset with you or yelling at you. If you're being faithful to a holy God and you have true compassion, you want them to be saved, you trust the Lord, you love and you care for them, Success is just being faithful. That's what he's called us to do, to be faithful. I hope you find comfort in that. I hope you find daily rest in who the Lord is. That the Lord, no matter what we hear so much about in this world, that he is bringing his creation to its divinely determined goal. Even in the midst of our personal sin, our personal pain, the mass wickedness that we see in our society, God is accomplishing his purpose. Even now, he's bringing his kingdom. We have seen clearly today that God was preserving his people and that he was moving his people to faithfulness. And the word of God was being used. The temple being rebuilt, that was not the end. It was the worship of himself which required the law of God. And God deserves all the praise, amen? He is a promise keeper, and he will preserve his church. I was reminded this past weekend, so we spent time with a man pouring into pastors this weekend. He reminded us, where's the church in Ephesus? It's crumbled. You go there today, it's crumbled. It's no longer there. But we read a letter to these people. The church ultimately died. But all the Lord's children, where are they now? They're with the Lord. His kingdom kept growing and growing and growing from year to year to year to year. I was also reminded of all the great heroes of the faith that we look up to, that we read about, that we hear. Men that I wish I could preach like. Where are they now? They're dead. You know what's so beautiful? God's kingdom still grew after they died. It's still growing today. Sometimes we put so much stock in our personal growth that we fail to remember that it's the Lord who uses the person. We fail to remember that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God deserves all the praise. And just as Ezra was humble, let us remain humble and faithfully serve the Lord, remembering the law of God and the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for this morning. Your word is so good. Your word is so good. Father, we've heard the verse so many times throughout our life that your word does not return void. But so many times we read your word, so many times we pray your word, and we lack faith. So many times we know if we confess our sins that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So often in our lives we fail to confess. We fail to know your word, which means we don't remember it. We fail to do your word because we're not in it. We fail to teach your word because ultimately your word's really not that important. Lord, forgive us. As we sang this morning that pierced my heart and my mind, all the things that this world has to offer, it is nothing. You are enough. It is enough to know you. It is a joy and a great grace to have your word in our language and to read your word, to be able to abide in your word, to pray your word, and to teach your word, to pass it on. And yet, each and every day we stray, each and every day we chase after other things. Lord, forgive us. Father, you used a man like Ezra who had his heart set on knowing the law of God and doing the law of God and teaching the law of God. Father, it does not matter if nobody ever knows our name. It does not matter if other men applaud us when we walk into a room or if they boo us when we walk into a room. It does not matter what other people think about us. Ultimately, what matters, are we your child? And as your child, are we doing what you have called us to do according to not our standards, but according to your holy word? Father, right now we give you this time as we prepare our hearts for the taking of the Lord's table. May we turn from our sins. May we apply your word to our life. So take this time right now, spend time with the Lord, respond to the word of God that was preached, and prepare your hearts for the Lord's table.